This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A victory Monday. Grant and Danny after a Redskins win on 106.7 The Fan. Over the last several years, occasionally the Redskins have won, and we have come on the air soon thereafter, and Hall & Oates has played, and we've pointed our double gun fingers at each other, and we've danced around the studio. That studio has always been at 1015 Half Street by Nationals Park.
Right.
Not today.
Not this day.
I got to tell you, as a beat reporter, for four straight years, day in and day out here in Ashburn at Redskins Park, when I started hosting shows in studio, I thought my days driving out to Ashburn were in the rearview mirror. Danny Ruye, the Grant and Danny radio program in 2018.
Just where we are. It's not a big deal.
In week three, is live and originating today from the lobby of Redskins Park, where in the last few minutes, Adrian Peterson, Chris Thompson, Matt Ioannidis, Quentin Dunbar and many others have strolled by us to go get their treatment. What planet are we on?
Already had a chat with Chris Cooley. Larry Michael showed me where to go. This is just 2018. Just a normal morning in 2018. What are we doing here, Harry?
Larry Michael escorted you into the building, not off of the premises, sat you down here and said, have a great show, boys.
We had to pass through a gatehouse. I gave my name and the gate was raised. Do you understand how crazy this is to me? Other people are probably going, oh, so what? This is where you guys are. If you know a tenth of the history, you know how amazing this is. But, A, thank you to the Redskins for having us out here. Thank you to Brian LaFamina and everybody, his whole team, for suggesting that we do this. Thanks to 106.7 The Fan, TK, everybody who made it possible. I don't know, a lot of adults that make a lot of adult decisions decided it was cool that we come here. I'm here. I'm happy about it because we're talking about the Washington Redskins beating the Green Bay Packers at home in front of what looked to me to be a pretty good crowd, better than week one at home or week number two game, but their first home game. What a W. What a first half. And I think the defense, GP, is not getting enough credit for what they had to do in the second half.
We
can talk about it.
We'll spend these 4 hours breaking the game down. A Redskins win. They are 2-1 through three contests. An early bye week, which is far from fortuitous here going into week four. The next time the Redskins play, speaking of places we're broadcasting from, they'll be in New Orleans for Monday Night Football. We will be in New Orleans with the Redskins, which is going to be great. Looking forward to that already as they'll try to get to 3-1. On the young season for the first time since 2011. But Washington wins, and as you kind of go back and try to make sense of what happened, we'll be doing it throughout the day today. Remember, DJ Swearinger's weekly appointment at 11 coming up in 55 minutes, and Clinton Portis every Monday at 11:30 will help us break down a prolific day on the ground. First and foremost, give this coaching staff a lot of credit. They took flack, probably understandably and reasonably, last week when the team didn't look as prepared as Indianapolis and played a flat game at home. Yesterday was the opposite of that. The Redskins came out with energy and a buzz, and right off the bat, they targeted Jordan Reed on the first play from scrimmage, first and 10 from their own 25 on a 7-yard hitch. He didn't get a throw his way until there were about 4 minutes left in the half in week two. The next play was a 2-yard run. Then on third and one, Alex Smith found Vernon Davis play action for a gain of 20. And on first and 10 from the 46-yard line just across midfield, third time, four plays to start the game, Gruden called a pass. It was a deep shot down the field to Paul Richardson. And after a couple of weeks of talking about Alex Smith's reticence to get his receivers involved, to try to force the issue vertically, Paul Richardson did exactly what the Redskins signed him to do, and he got open way down the field.
Play fake on first down. Time to throw. Smith lets it rip. Richardson, he's got it inside the five. Touchdown,
plays, 75 yards, 2 minutes and 6 seconds into the game. The Redskins had answered the question as to whether or not their receivers can get behind people. They'd answered the question as to whether or not Smith could throw the ball up top. And they took an early lead over a team they weren't supposed to beat.
Throwing on a first down. Throwing early. That's the mixture. That offense that we saw. It's not. I don't like there's a narrative. I hate that word at this point because it's overused. But there's this false choice that's being presented now, I think, in a lot of places, GP, where the choice is either run the ball for nothing or throw it 50 yards in the air. That seems to be the equivalent. That seems to be what we're what the media members and various folks are presenting as the only two options. Here are the options. Jordan Reed on first down for 7. Jamison Crowder on first down for 6. Jordan Reed for 9. Some of their first down passing was their most effective over the course of the game. They did have an interception on first down in a route that was a very weird play. Alex Smith threw it towards the sideline. Jordan Reed either stopped or miscommunication. I don't know what happened. Other than that play, which was not good, obviously, their first down passing was excellent. That touchdown we already heard, Jamison Crowder on an RPO, Jordan Reed getting involved early, that softened the defense up. That allows for those repeated Adrian Peterson opportunities. He's going for 0, 1, and 2 constantly in that first half. He was able to break 3 runs that changed the entire tenor of the game. It's because you keep the football and you move the chains when you're ahead of the sticks and the whole playbook is at your disposal. When you run for 0, as they did in the second half, a ton of times you see this offense stagnate, bog down, and turn into mush. That first half is what it can be. That was a symphony. It was perfect. That's as good an offensive first half or half as I've seen for the Redskins in a long, long time.
At least in 2 weeks, dating back to when they led the Cardinals 21-0. But they scored 28 first half points. If you're curious, the last time the Redskins had 28 points at halftime was Thanksgiving Day against Dallas in 2012 when Robert Griffin threw 4 touchdown passes in the second quarter. They were up 14-0 after 1 and then 28-10 after 2. I give the offense a lot of credit because specifically early but throughout the game, they answered time and time and time again. When the defense, which was very good yesterday, a season-high 4 sacks, 5 drives of 12 or fewer yards, only 1 long sustained drive allowed right after halftime, 15 plays for 75 yards, 7 minutes, 2 seconds time elapsed. When the defense did break on the 164-yard pass to Geronimo Allison, where it looked like Norman thought he had help from Swearinger, we'll ask Swearinger exactly what happened on the miscommunication. The answer soon thereafter was a 50-yard completion down the field to Vernon Davis and a touchdown strike right before the half to go back up by 18. That proved paramount because when the Packers came out with the ball first in the third quarter and went down the field for a touchdown, rather than being down 4, they were still down 11, and they never got closer than that over the duration of the game. But you had the run set up with the pass, which is what you and I ask for all the time. You don't have to come out in the first drive and impose your will. And
physical football.
Let's go helmet to helmet and push people around. No.
Oklahoma drill.
3 passes, 4 plays, 75 yards, and a touchdown. You set up the running game because now a banged up bad secondary for Green Bay has to account for Washington's running game. And they've got to say, well, wait a second. If they can get behind us, but they still have Adrian Peterson, now what do we do? Peterson goes for a 120, 2 touchdowns, his first 2 touchdown game. I think he had one other one in his last 21. 120 yards for him on 6.3 a pop. He hadn't averaged that many yards per carry since week 10, 2015. We saw Alex Smith, who only completed 12 passes in the game. I mean, it wasn't like Alex Smith was lighting up Green Bay, but how about using his feet? Scrambling for 20 yards, 2 first down runs.
Big moments here.
On third down. He had a 3rd and 5, scrambled for 7, a 3rd and 7, scrambled to the sticks, moved the sticks on both of those 2 occasions. More involvement from Reed, season high 65 yards. More involvement from Crowder, season high 4 catches, including his first touchdown since week 16 last year. You saw Vernon Davis catch a 50-yard pass, longest of the season. Richardson's 46-yard grab is only of the day. And even getting shut out, Josh Doctson didn't catch a ball. 2 pass interference penalties.
Those are big plays.
1 set up a touchdown, targeted 3 times, and drew flags twice.
Here was the Colts' plan. Stop the run on first down by committing to it. Then drop off into a very passive deep shell. Force the Redskins to check it down, and it worked to perfection. You need to take away a team's ability to do that by gaining yards on first down. It sounds elementary. It sounds very basic, because of course you want to gain yards on first down. Every team, every week is trying to gain yards on first down. The Redskins obstinately run on first down way too much. You watch them do it. In the second half, by the way, they don't have a second half touchdown in any game this year. You watch what happened in the second half of this game. All of their drives were three and outs with the exception of the bogus Clay Matthews penalty, which gave them a fourth down. They ran on first down each one of those drives. They stalled. They were three and out the entire second half until after the turnover when they managed 20-some yards. This offense can hum. It can be dynamic. It can be excellent when the defense doesn't know what's coming, when you break tendency. I'm not saying never run on first down. I'm saying more often than not, just flip the ball to Jamison Crowder for 4 yards. Flip it to Jordan Reed for 6 yards. That's just as good as a running play, if not better. Put the defense on their heels. They did that in the first half, and that's why they won the game.
We'll get into a little bit more emphasis on the defense when we give out some game balls here in a moment, but my foray into that is going to be that I want to talk a lot about Jonathan Allen today, because that guy is a havoc-wreaking, difference-making...
That's a man.
...animal up front. And if there's a stronger person on the planet today than Matt Ioannidis, I want to know who they are. I mean, he's probably somewhere right now just pulling refrigerators behind him and pushing cars out of his way as he wants to park at Best Buy in Leesburg. What a monster of a human being he is. Let's get some game balls handed out next. We'll also give some gassers to the worst performers, performances, worst of the day. Your best game ball, your worst gasser, 800-636-1067. This is a Victory Monday. We are Grant and Danny. We are doing the show live from Redskins Park. You are new to Grant and Danny. Welcome in. Where you been? On Victory Mondays, your boys like to give out a bunch of game balls to the Redskins who had the best performances in the Sundays that netted the team a win. You can give out a game ball or a gasser with us right now on the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. By the way, I put these numbers together last night. The Redskins, through three games, have allowed 44 points. Only the 3-0 Rams, a true Super Bowl contender, have allowed fewer points. Washington tied with Jacksonville for second best in the National Football League.
A lot of that buoyed by week one against Arizona, who's not a particularly good offense. We know that, but you don't apologize for it. The point is, the defense has been effective. The defense has been really effective. And at times we've complained about certain things, whether it's lack of consistent pressure. That kind of was erased here this weekend with some of these guys. But, man, oh, man, this is a playoff defense. This group, as assembled, if they have relative health, is a playoff-caliber defense.
Tommy, give me a game ball, please.
Game ball.
John Allen, an absolute man amongst children in the trenches yesterday. 5 tackles, 2 sacks, minus 14 yards for that Green Bay offense. He also had 2 tackles for loss and 3 quarterback hits. He dominated in the running game, in the passing game. This is what it looks like, folks, when you hit on a first-round pick. John Allen, who fell into the Redskins' laps at 17 last year because of injury concerns, showing no ill effects from the Lisfranc a year ago. In the 8th game, that's it, the 8th game of his career yesterday, played at a Pro Bowl, maybe better, you know, maybe all-pro type level. You could not block him in isolation one-on-one. Order your John Allen jerseys now. That dude is absolutely phenomenal.
Tommy, I need a game ball, please.
Game ball.
They were teammates at Alabama. They're teammates now with the Washington Redskins. How about his linemate, Daron Payne? He had as many sacks yesterday as he did his last year at Alabama. He had as many tackles for a loss as he did his last year at Alabama. One of each. Also managed another quarterback hit. I thought he was explosive in spots. You don't think of that nose tackle spot. He's not going to play that traditional nose, GP. He'll line up maybe on some running downs, et cetera. But then after that, on passing downs, he's an explosive disruptor like everybody else is. I thought Payne was all over the field yesterday, too. They were willing, I think, to let Green Bay run a little bit. Say, we know what you want to do. It's not hand the football off to Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones and Ty Montgomery 30 times. We know that's not who you are. We know who you are, and we know who you're not. We're going to let you do that a few times at the expense of ultimately getting upfield and disrupting what they want to do in the passing game. They did that. I thought Payne was awesome.
Let's keep the train on the tracks.
Game ball.
Adrian Peterson, 33 or 23 yesterday, hard to tell. Remember when he went for 41 yards around edge?
Yeah.
I want to make this pro Peterson, not anti anybody else. But just know, Nobody else on this roster can rip off that run. Nobody else on the roster over the last couple of years can give you what Peterson did. If not for the Darius Geis injury, and maybe Geis would be going wild right now. He'd be the guy and it wouldn't matter. But this guy wouldn't even be on the team. He might not be in the league right now. He would be sitting on his couch potentially waiting on a phone call. Because remember, nobody was bringing him in for workouts. He essentially requested, begged, please let me show you that I'm in better shape than the 26-year-olds you're going to be working out, and that I can help you. He ran the ball 19 times for 120 yards, including the 41-yarder. His run of the season was on this insane jump cut that went for 12 when he kind of ran toward the tackle at the end of the tackle box, stopped, and then leaped in the other direction. It looked like a glitch in a video game. Running backs can't do that. I don't care how old you are. His two touchdowns yesterday, both plunges, powerful from 2 yards out, helped the Redskins maintain and grow leads. Adrian Peterson was a key to fueling the offense.
Sammy, I also won another game ball.
Game ball.
Cousin Chase Roullier. That's a center. That's an inexperienced late-round draft pick playing center, but not yesterday. How about he moves over to guard? How about Alex Smith? I'm going to list all the times he was sacked. That's the end of the list of the times Alex Smith was sacked. He was only hit twice hard, thinking about some of the plays over the course of the game. Cousin Chase is out in the pull game. Cousin Chase is road grading. Cousin Chase was doing a pretty good job in pass pro, I felt like, with some of the Packers running some of their stuff in terms of blitzes and various pickups. I thought he handled himself really well at his second best position. Redskins offensive line, to me, night and day, going back to what they had this past Sunday against the Colts versus yesterday against the Packers. A group that I frankly think is better up front than the Colts are. Maybe that's going to prove out incorrect over the course of the season, especially if the injury to Muhammad Wilkerson is as serious as it looked. But I was really impressed with the interior of that O-line that was a tad bit makeshift.
I'm not done giving out game balls yet, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Game ball.
Ryan Kerrigan. The stat sheet today for Kerrigan reads one solo tackle. That's it. Nothing else. But did you watch the game, though? Did he win the game, though? Did he win the game, though? Ryan Kerrigan drew two holding penalties, minus 10 yards apiece, 20 yards in losses. Remember the scene in Dumb and Dumber when Harry and Lloyd are giving the briefcase back, and they say, that's an IOU.
That's as good as money, sir.
Sacks are great, but holds are IOUs. They're as good as money, sir.
$275,000. That's a car. Matt won't hold on to that one.
Ryan Kerrigan, impactful yesterday. We've been saying need a little bit more from 91. He gave it to you.
I got another game ball I can give out.
Game ball.
Second straight week, Mason Foster, 12 tackles, shared a tackle for a loss. He was all over the field once again. That was a guy that you could always spot. So it's almost like Zach Brown has slid into a secondary role, if that makes any sense. He's still a tackling machine, still a very good player, especially in the run game. Mason Foster out there for all downs, covering people. He was blitzing a couple times. He almost got home once. It ended up being a sack for somebody else. He was really impressive and has been really impressive to me, getting everybody lined up in the right spots. Mason Foster, little game ball piece.
How about Jay Gruden getting a game ball? We cool with that, everybody?
Game ball.
The head coach of the operation everybody wanted to yell at after last week when the Redskins didn't look good against the Indianapolis Colts. Well, Gruden had his team ready to go. Loved the play calling, particularly early on in the game. Liked how aggressive he was, stretching the field and throwing the football on that opening drive coming out passing. But for me, where I'm going to give Jay Gruden the game ball, where I think he really earned it, was on the challenge on 4th and 2 from the Redskins' 43-yard line. Aaron Rodgers throws a pass to the short left to Randall Cobb for what looked like a 3-yard completion working on Josh Harvey Clemens in the slot. Cobb picks up a first down, and the chains are moving. At that point, it's a 11-point game, 28-17. The Packers, late third quarter, you get within four. You got an entire fourth quarter with Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback to now take the lead. Gruden, despite Green Bay hurrying, how many times have we seen opponent get to the line of scrimmage, get a snap off, the Redskins couldn't figure out a way quick enough to determine if they need a challenge or not? Gruden doesn't wait. I don't even know if he got word from up top or not. He just decided, I think he may have dropped it. I'm throwing the red flag. He challenges the play. The call is reversed. The Redskins take over 1st and 10 from the 43-yard line.
Underrated moment in that game. It's a huge play.
That is where Jay Gruden gets a game ball. Who are you guys giving your game balls to, your gassers to? That is the question at 800-636-1067. Next, for the first time today, we will open up the Hadid Carpet Cleaning listener lines on a victory Monday. Remember, DJ Swearinger is on the show 30 minutes from now. Clinton Portis joins us 1 hour from right now on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Grant and Danny live from Redskins Park, where the first place Redskins train tied for first with the Philadelphia Eagles at 2-1 after yesterday's resounding 31-17 beatdown of the Green Bay Packers. We're looking for your game balls, best of the game, gassers, worst of the contest. There is a line open at 800-636-1067 right now. That's 800-636-1067. I'll say one thing before we get to the game balls. Aaron Rodgers was clearly not himself. He didn't practice this week. He was hobbled. I thought that was glaringly evident on the third down scramble for 3 yards where he needed two, and he got to the ground, and you said, okay, this guy's just not right.
That kind of hobble, hop, step thing, yeah.
He also missed a bunch of throws he normally makes, and the Packers, who don't run the ball as well as the Redskins, on a day where it was wet and rainy and gloomy at FedEx Field, were working in adverse road weather conditions that weren't as friendly to them as Washington. I don't care about any of that. Football is about when you play teams, not necessarily who you play. Everyone gets breaks, and some teams take advantage of them, and some don't. And yesterday, you want to say the Redskins were lucky, that's fine. They were also good, and they won. And yeah, that's what matters.
They were fortunate in some areas. Let's say all those dropped passes were completed. I still think the Redskins win the football game, or in a great position to do so. The Packers committed a bunch of penalties. Well, a lot of times it's Kerrigan forcing a lineman to hold him. A lot of times it's defensive players in winning positions. Again, the Redskins got bailed out in a couple moments. I don't apologize for that, because here's your end game bottom line. The team that played better yesterday won the football game. Whether it was by two scores or ended up being by one or a field goal, the Redskins were better than the Packers yesterday, deserved to win the game.
Let's go to the phones. Matt, to get us started, is in Manassas. Matt, another sack for you. 3 through 3 games. Really big fan of your work so far.
How's it going, guys? Yeah, it was a great win. I just want to say I'm giving my game ball to Adrian Peterson. He had another day, and I'm giving my gas to Josh Norman, who gave up that huge play, I think, in the third quarter, giving them a shot in the end zone.
Appreciate you, buddy. Second quarter, 64-yard touchdown for Geronimo Allison. I'm not sure if it was Norman's fault yet. Again, we're going to have DJ Swearinger on the show in 25 minutes. Norman clearly passed the wide receiver off to the safety. There was a miscommunication there. We've got to sort that out, as I'm sure the Redskins have on film already this morning here at the park. Otherwise, though, there were no breakdowns on the back end, and I give Washington a lot of credit for that. So I looked this up last night because I felt like they really didn't give much up in terms of big plays other than that one grab. You realize the Packers didn't have another play over 18 yards yesterday.
And it would have been the Kendricks catch, but he dropped that.
Right.
But yes, they were there on coverage on every other deep attempt.
Normally, over the course of a game, you're giving up 4, 5, 6 plays, 15 or more in a chunk yardage league. It was a bunch of stuff in the 10 to 17 range and then the 164-yarder. Let's go to Casey in D.C. on line 2. Casey, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, good fellas. So I give my game ball to Alex Smith's legs. Because I think when that guy goes off script, man, that's what we were waiting for Kirk to do more than he did last year. And Alex Smith just gets it. And I love when that happens. And then I would say for the gasser, Josh Doctson, guys, I'm going to tell you straight up, he's a full on bust. Sorry, dude. Later.
Well, he got 3 targets yesterday, and he drew pass interference penalties on 2 of them. So if you're going to call him a bust, it's not going to be based on yesterday's performance, I wouldn't think. I understand that he didn't catch any passes. But at that point now, you've got 1 target, 0 catches, and he caught the ball. He was out of bounds. Is that his fault? I mean, he had run his route, and the throw came too late. I would say it isn't. So you can't tell me that he had a bad game yesterday. Now, if you want to say he doesn't get open enough to get targeted more often, I guess that you can make that case. I mean, you have more access to better all 22 film than I do to make that assessment. I know that I'm working back from a result, which is a quarterback that doesn't often throw the ball outside to wide receivers and a quarterback that doesn't like to throw many balls up for grabs and a wide receiver who thrives on that. Danny, you and I have said since the day that they traded for Alex Smith, and we liked the deal because it was the best of some bad options.
Agreed.
After Cousins got away. You and I both thought, and I think so far we've been proven very correct on this, that the marriage between him and Doxson would be anything but harmonious, because Doxson is basically the antithesis of the type of receiver that Smith has had a good relationship with in his career.
Yeah, again, I think there's chicken and the egg here. There's some push and pull. So he's not going to get that many targets. Again, only 20 throws yesterday, so it's not as if anybody got a lot of targets.
12 completions all day long.
Yeah, so nobody's going to put up big numbers in that game yesterday because of how it went. Week one, same thing. Even week two to a degree, no big numbers. And when it looks like it did in week two, that's frustrating when you need more. But I think the other part of it is if Josh Doxson was legit and really, really good, things would be really different. He would demand the football. It would have to go through him the same way that when Jay Gruden and his staff get together after week number two and they look at the tape and they go, oh my God, we didn't target Jordan Reed at all. That's ridiculous, because Jordan Reed's excellent. If that was the same thing with Doxson, going, how can we only target him a certain number of times? There's no feeling about that. That's what I think frustrates a lot of fans.
Here's where I will rebut you, though. Jordan Reed doesn't have a 65-yard game yet this season. Jamison Crowder doesn't have more than four catches for 40 yards. Those two guys are really good. You see my point? They're not getting their numbers either. And as you said, there was 12 completions yesterday.
Right.
You look at the history of wide receivers with Alex Smith, other than Tyreek Hill, who catches a lot of balls at the line of scrimmage and turns them into 50-yard gains. Jeremy Maclin is the only guy who's ever gone for 1,000 yards ever. So I'm not sure that I believe the idea that he would just be catching a ton of passes or he would have a lot more numbers if he was really good. I just don't think that's how their offense works. I think last year he caught 6 touchdowns. I think that was a pretty indicative sign of some growth. I'm with you. I don't think my point is not that this guy's ever going to make a Pro Bowl. I don't think he's going to, or that he's a number one wide receiver. I do not believe that he is anymore. But to call him a bust, I think, is a very different thing. Let's go to Tommy in Rockville on line 3. Tommy, how are you?
I'm good. I'm looking at the coach. You know, the coach has been coming into games where he seems so well prepared. Probably puts together a good game plan. But the problem I'm having, I give him it, the award, the ball for putting together a good game plan. But what's going on in the second half?
I like every time this guy comes into the gasser second half. After halftime, basically.
I say again?
You're going with the gasser for the post-halftime performances.
I'm giving game ball for the game plan, but then I don't even understand what to say for gasser, but I can just say I'm looking for your all's opinion on what do you think about his game planning and recovering and trying to put together a second half. It just seems other coaches are doing better jobs of putting points on the board in the second half.
Yeah, they don't have a second half touchdown this year. I mean, that's a thing.
And well, in their two wins, Smith is 4 for 10 passing and 2 for 5 for 6 yards yesterday in the second half in those two wins.
Now, in week one, they didn't have to do anything. They could have taken a knee and punted each time and still would have won the football game. This is a bit different. This is Aaron Rodgers. I know he's hobbled Aaron Rodgers, but it's still Aaron Rodgers. It's still Devonta Adams. It's still Jimmy Graham. It's still a capable offense. They needed to probably do more than they did. They got bailed out by their defense and a couple mistakes here and there from Green Bay. But this, the frustration I think a lot of folks have, and it's worked out twice, is what happens when the other team makes a play? Can you get it back? Can you get back that aggressiveness? Can you get back that ability to strike? And it doesn't have to be throwing Hail Marys. You're not just, you know, sending four verticals and patting the football a couple times and Alex Smith throws it as far as he can. One of the three most important plays in the game I jotted down. After this long punt into the Redskins deep in their territory, they had that 98-yard drive. There was a 3rd and 6 that resulted in a 38-yard, I believe, Jordan Reed catch and run. Those are the kinds of plays, the just in front of the safeties, behind the linebackers, et cetera, a dart, step up, great throw from Alex Smith, hits Jordan Reed in stride, and then your best playmaker makes plays in space.
17 yards after the catch on that grab.
Those are the kinds of plays that change games. It's not always about, you know, over the top, taking that shot. That's not always going to be available. Teams want to prevent that as much as you want to get those. That, to me, was one of the huge field position changing, drive extending plays where they responded to Green Bay's first touchdown. That was massive.
I thought thought part of why they were doomed offensively in the second half was the play calling on first down. I'm going to keep echoing a sentiment and beating a dead horse here.
I think that's the biggest reason.
Offensive drive number 7. I write down all the plays. So I got my notebook here in front of me. First and 10 from their own 17-yard line. Peterson off right tackle for 2. Then they went Thompson for 3. Smith complete to Thompson. No gain on a check down on 3rd and 5. They punted. The next set of downs was when the Clay Matthews roughing the passer took place, which was not a penalty. It was an egregious call. It was a great break for the Redskins, and it was a joke for the NFL. That was the only first down they got in the second half before they put the game away with Peterson at the tail end. The next time they got the ball, because 3 downs after that roughing, they punted. Peterson up the middle. Again, a short gain, set up 2nd down, and eventually on 3rd and 9, incomplete. Smith bought some time, but nothing was open down the field. The next drive they had, Peterson to the left for a loss of 2. You're behind the 6, 2nd and 12. You hit a jet little RPO look to Jamison Crowder for 8, and you're still 3rd and now several. Alex Smith again on the run, incomplete. So they punted several times, never once got more than 4 yards on the ground on a first down run. I thought they got away from some of the things that worked so well in the first half. 800-636-1067 is the number. We're looking for game balls for the things you really liked about the Redskins' win over the Packers. Gassers for some of the issues that had you scratching your head. DJ Squaringer is scheduled to join us at 11 live from Redskins Park. Clinton Portis next hour as well. And that's right, believe it or not, we are in Ashburn in the lobby of the Redskins training facility. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Shout out to the sensational cheese program, Greenlot D70, tailgate yesterday. Just all kinds of cheeses on display for everybody to consume. You got to theme your tailgates to the opponent. Everybody knows that. Tailgate Ted got that party started. Grant and Danny, as we welcome you back on 106.7 The Fan. How about the Redskins? 2-1, tied for first place. They have beaten the Cardinals and the Packers with monster first halves and convincing offensive performances. A couple of other notes we have not yet mentioned. Liked what I saw yesterday compared to previous weeks from Preston Smith. Really active in the running game. Made several 7 tackles and hit the quarterback. And Quentin Dunbar continues to impress at corner. He and Fabian Moreau, a couple of young DBs you and I were a little worried about because they're inexperienced. So far, so good. There was some luck for Moreau yesterday because Randall Cobb had the dropsies, fumbled the ball. But Moreau stripped him late in the game, the one takeaway the Redskins defense garnered, where that was a hustle play. He rips the ball out. Norman falls on
it. Really good play.
But the young DBs, through 3 games, have answered a lot of questions.
I mean, listen, it's a really tough ask to say, hey, Fabian Moreau, deal with Randall Cobb in the slot. Randall Cobb in the slot is better than, I'd say, 99% of slot corners. It's in terms of the ability to run routes that he's got, whether it's pick plays, rub plays, 2-way goes, 3-way goes, various things where he can go, come back, you know, read off the quarterback, the option routes, choice routes, a million different things. That's a really tough ask. I thought he held his own yesterday. I thought he was pretty darn good, and that's an area I think Green Bay thought that they could exploit, and they weren't really able to.
Let's go to Jay, who is in D.C. on line 4. Jay, you're on Grant and Danny. What's up, buddy?
What's up? No flatulence today. We got a whole bye week for that. All game balls. Ionitis, nastiest defensive lineman. I love him. Chase Roullier. These two are the best, like the best value draft picks we've had since Alfred Morris. And my other one goes to James Rowe, who was in James Rowe, the assistant defensive backs coach, who was in Jay Gruden's ear for that fourth down challenge?
The challenge.
He's the one that kept telling Jay Gruden to go for it, and they didn't have that much time, so I'm really glad they went for it. The other one is Fabian Moreau. I like the way he plays. No excessive celebrations. When the receiver randomly drops the ball in front of him, he knows he did wrong, and he comes back and tries to push past every single time. I love that guy.
Thanks, Jay, and I'm with you on Matt Ioannidis.
How about that Ioannidis sack?
Become a player for this team. Let's go to Conrad Alexandria on line 5. What's good, Conrad?
What's going on? I want to give my game ball to Jordan Reed. I want to give my gasser to Josh Norman. He could play better than that. They only had 10 interceptions in his whole career right now, so it's not looking good for him.
Yeah, he did have a fumble recovery yesterday, but no picks on the season and none all of last year either. And I care a little bit less about the picks unless you drop an interception.
Which he did a few times last year, yeah.
Absolutely. But I care about like breaking up passes, being in coverage. And I thought for the most part, I didn't see him trailing receivers. The big problem, obviously, was on the home run ball to Geronimo Allison, which we'll get to the bottom of with DJ Swearinger.
Well, there are a couple things I want to say about Norman. One, there was a what ended up being a 10-yard run when he had a chance to at least slow the guy down, and he went for the fumble punch.
He loves doing that.
Which, if someone else is holding the guy up, punch away. Peanut Tillman that thing all day and twice on Sunday. But he went for it, and then the I think it was Jones, ended up running for 10 yards after that contact. I can't have that. Just, I understand you're not there to thump. You're not a downhill Sean Taylor-style safety, but get a hold of the guy. Let somebody else come in and clean it up. Second thing is, I know we don't know whose fault it was, the touchdown, the coverage, whatever. I don't care. I think back to last week against Hilton, and then this one against Allison. How slow does he look to you? Like, to me, he now looks downright slow when it comes to that position. Like, he's trailing guys by a lot.
Yeah, I think that play is probably not actually indicative of his speed, because I don't think he was actually digging at any point. But there are times, and look, a lot. T.Y. Hilton's going to make a lot of guys look slow.
Absolutely.
But I certainly think Josh Norman's on that list after last week.
Yeah, where I understand, again, he was passing guys off or whatever it was. He thought he had help. I'm going, man, he's even if he wanted to close the gap, he has no chance to.
Let's go to Steven, who's in Winchester. Steven is on line 6. What's up?
Steven.
Good morning, Grant and Dave. I have a game ball for Jordan Reed. A lot of great grabs, and I also noticed he was going gloveless.
Yep.
I don't know if that's a regular thing for him or not, but that stood out to me. Another game ball for Zach Brown. He didn't really have, like, a breakout game or anything, but he's really fast, he's really strong, and I'm happy to have him in the middle of our defense. And I will give a gasser to myself because I did not like the Adrian Peterson signing. I laughed at people that drafted him in fantasy. And I'm just really glad that he is a Washington Redskin, and I would like to apologize to Mr. Peterson for doubting him.
Yeah, you and I are in line together, and it wraps around the block, I think. Thanks for the call. Great point on Reed, too, because I had not connected the dots necessarily on that, because the Packers were dropping footballs every time I turned around. It was wet, and it was nasty out. Reed, gloveless, didn't just make all the catches he should have. He made a couple of marvelous grabs. And I'm talking about if you're indoors in New Orleans in a couple weeks.
That one catch where basically he had to box out the defender. He was playing basketball, walled the guy off, getting a rebound, throw was low into the outside, down with his bare hands in the rain. That play is, oh, that's right, that guy's elite. Oh, right, that guy's special. A handful of guys make that play that are that big and that strong and that fast. Wide receivers can make that catch, not guys that are 250 pounds that move that way. That was so impressive.
In the 11 o'clock hour, which gets started in just a few minutes here on Grant and Danny, we'll be catching up with Redskin safety DJ Swearinger, our usual Monday appointment with him, and longtime running back Clinton Portis, who does such a good job breaking down Washington's offense. We'll ask him about Peterson's performance and what changed in the second half as the Skins got stuck in neutral. You are listening to The Fan. The Redskins are 2-1. It's a victory Monday, and we're at the park.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.